Isaiah 61. Just close your eyes again, please. Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. To proclaim liberty for the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes and oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So I know today there's people in here that have a spirit of heaviness. There are those that are mourning, and those that feel their captives, and that they're bound, and they're brokenhearted. I pray by the end of today, there may be some light at the end of people's tunnels. In Jesus' name, yeah? Good morning, church. Thanks, Dave, for the introduction. I had been working hard on this message all week, but God's got some other plans, so we'll just see how that goes. You're a good-looking bunch this morning, so that's good. Any visitors in the house, just put your hand up just real quick. Don't want to embarrass you. Because some visitors there, a few other new people, so welcome. Give them a round, make them feel welcome. Is Pastor Fred in the house? Yes, there he is. Good. You made it okay? Good to see you. We've been talking for some time here, and it's just come up about foundations and things of the past and those sorts of things, and we feel very led to bring some basic, fundamental, foundational truths to the body of Christ. Like a champion footballer, they still stand in the front of goals and practice kicking their goals. So we're just going to keep doing that for a while. I just mentioned Pastor Fred. You can probably put that first slide up if we're on. Ancient past, that was the name. We'll just see how we end up with that. But you can put the next slide up. Pastor Fred had a word from the Lord a couple of weeks ago, Jeremiah 56, that the people, my people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray. They've turned them away in the mountains. They've gone from mountain to hill, so higher places down to lower places. They have forgotten their resting place. Now, again, we disclaim that by we're not talking about anyone here in the past, any shepherds. It is a wake-up call for shepherds, so I take that very seriously because I don't want to lead you down a hill. I'm trying to lead you up the hill, trying to lead us up the hill, trying to take myself up the hill. But we've all got a part to play in that, yeah? We've seen in the media there's plenty of shepherds and online, plenty of shepherds have led sheep astray. I'm not going to go into that. There's some shows on TV tonight about Hillsong and Hell. Oh, they're calling it Hillsong. I don't know about all that. I don't even know really what happened, so I'm not going to speak into that. But just remember that word resting place as we go forward today, because what I believe today the Lord wants us to get to is for us to know there is a resting place. There is a rest in Him, and it's not when we die, although there's a rest in that in one sense. But there's a rest that we can enter now. And there's a scripture we're going to look at shortly that I think we're just going to slowly go through that and lead you through that to that path. So for those today that are feeling heavy, that are feeling burdened, that have got issues, most of us have some issue of some sort going on. For me, it's kids. For you, it might be something else. I know there's sickness. I know there's illness. I know there's stress and worry and financial problems. I know there's family problems. I know there's addiction problems. Because we've got 100 people, 100 odd people in the room. Someone once said, you've got 100 people in the room, there's every sin imaginable. But there's a way out. No, I'm not going to do all that. So today I think part of it is that the great physician wants to do a spiritual checkup. So we're going for a medical, yeah? Now again, you can be the healthiest person in the world. Top athletes, they go for a checkup from time to time, don't they? Or you can be the sickest and you still need to have a checkup. So the big idea for today is that I believe the Lord wants us to either find or rediscover a path to that rest for our souls, or that resting place that Jeremiah spoke of in Jeremiah 50. So that's the idea today, is to show us that path. And Kent, I thought of you. Where's Kent McDowell? He's here somewhere. I thought of you as I was preparing this because it's always at the back of my mind, Kent's word about victory. We've got to start living in victory, more victory as Christians. Yeah? Because that's what Christ died for, that we would live in victory. But don't be mistaken. There's storms of life. There's issues. There's dramas that we have to walk through and live through. A lot of it tests our faith, tests our perseverance. Proves us. But today, just keep in mind that there's victory in rest. There is absolute victory in rest. When all the chaos and things are going on around you and you have a rest, a peace that surpasses understanding. People want to know about that. So before we go to the text for today, I'm just going to read it first. It comes from Jeremiah 6:16. Actually, you can put it up. I think that's the next one. Yep, there it is. This is what the Lord says. Stop, or stand, depending on your version, at the crossroads and look. Some of your versions might say at the road and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it and you'll find what? So this is what I believe God wants to get us to. And I believe that's what a lot of us want. It's what we need to be asking him for this morning, because it's there for us. So just quickly, who's talking? Jeremiah's talking. He was a prophet about 600 BC through to 500 and about 87 BC. He's speaking to the nation of Judah at the time. Jeremiah was the weeping prophet, only had a couple of friends. He was pretty unpopular because he brought the truth. And people generally don't like to hear the truth. Israel was Judah in this case, were out of whack. They're worshipping other gods, they're rebellious, gone their own way. If you want to go your own way, buy one of those Utes on TV where they sing that song, you can go your own way. That's okay, we'll sanction that. If only they'd listened and heeded, they would have walked to this peace, and that's what we're after today. So just to preempt this a little bit, this rest doesn't mean absence or immunity from the storms of life, as I've already said. Who knows that? Rather, it's our strength, our peace, our ability to bear up under this and to shine in that, to be a light to the world. And I can tell you now, it's a wonderful evangelistic program if we can live and be a church like that. Yeah? People will want to know what's going on. Paul discovered it. He wrote a lot of the letters in the New Testament from jail, which isn't like some of the jails these days. They were holes in the ground. So what does it look like? It's about peace. Another word for that rest we're going to use today is peace. I'm not talking about hippie peace, which is all right in its time. I used to indulge in a bit of that, but it wasn't peace at all. It was bondage. And it's not necessarily a physical rest, although it could manifest that way. And sometimes when we're at peace, when we have the peace of God, we can rest easier. I would have liked a bit of that last night. But it's more soul rest, without sounding new agey. It's soul rest. It's rest for the mind. The soul is your mind, will, and emotions. It's that inner rest. It's the opposite to anxiety, to fear, to drama, to chaos that you might be surrounded in at the moment. It's our place of healing. Yeah? So it's all very well to talk about. Let's talk about some hows. We're going to go through this quickly. Well, no, we're going to go through this. I'll just ask you all to slow down. Let's just slow ourselves down, which is good advice for me. So slow down. And as the scripture says first, to stop, best way to stop is just to gently slow down. Take a look at ourselves, ask the Lord for our direction, and I hope that we can somehow commit to walking in his ways as he leads. So I'll just quickly pray again. Lord, I pray that a foundation of peace be upon us all as we slow down now, Lord, as we quieten our hearts. May we discover it and start to live in that place as a lifestyle. As a lifestyle, not just an occasional vacation place, but a lifestyle of rest in you. It's not to do nothing, but it's to do everything we've got to do with an underlying level of peace. And may we dwell there and shine a light to this dark world. Amen. Okay, slide one. Stop, stand at the crossroads and look. So stop and look. Have a look. Where are you? What are you doing? Do you need to face up to something? Do you need to face something? Do you need to face the day, face the music, face your demons? Do you need to face your sins today? People don't talk much about sin anymore in church. And I'm sorry. You may hear that again. I love it when we open the front for healing, for physical healing. I love it. But I long to see the day when we open the front and people come and let go of their sins, let go of the things that's holding them in bondage, the real stuff. Because what's the problem of humanity? Sin. That's it. Now, we've been washed of that. If you're a born-again Christian, you're free of your sin. We're not sinners anymore. We still might fall into sin. We still do fall into sin. But we don't live in that place. We don't dwell in that place. We don't make our bed in that place. We sin, we get convicted. We confess, we repent, then we walk in obedience again. Yeah? So what do you need to face up to today? What do you need to stop, stand and have a look at? Now, you may need some help here. I don't want to be too harsh. There's some things we've got to look at and stand and deal with, as you would have seen Alan at VMTC last couple of weekends, that we need help with. You need someone to hold your hand. You need someone to come alongside of you. This is not beating you over the head. If you need that, please grab someone you can trust. Grab someone that you can be vulnerable with. There's pastors and staff and elders here, and you may have others in your sphere of influences. You may need some help with that. Because some of you have gone through some very bad stuff. I talk about unforgiveness. There'll be a message about forgiveness soon. It's a process. And I know some of the experiences I've had with people in ministry and just friends and our own lives. Some of you have been through some really tough stuff. And I'm sorry that you have. And you might have even felt that God wasn't there for you. But he's here for you. He's our ever-present help, it says. And even if it's just to get a first level of this peace, this healing, would be nice. Take a look. Where are you? You might have chosen the wrong path. There's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. But you've got to do something about it. You've got to take a look and face up to it. As my old teachers would say, Manoni, get a mirror and have a very good look at yourself. I thought about going to Kmart and getting a whole heap of little mirrors and just passing them out to people. Sometimes we've got to get a mirror and have a good look at ourselves. Amen? That might sound harsh and rude, but as my mum also would say, if your cap fits, wear it. She was pretty hard, my mum, in a lot of ways. God bless her. 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, Paul says to admonishes the Corinthians to examine themselves, to take a look, to see whether they're even in the faith. That's pretty sobering. There's another scripture that says, I can't remember what it says, but it's a thing. And as you take a look, there may be various paths before you. There are various paths before us always. There are choices before us. Choose wisely. And some of you guys right now are at either a crossroad or a Y road, or you're on a little goat path trying to get up a hill. You're going to make the right decision. And some of you know that the path you're going down, or you've started going down, or you're thinking of going down, isn't the right path. Take a look today. It's between you and God. The psalmist says, point out anything me that offends you, Lord, and lead me along the paths of everlasting life. They're the paths of peace. They're the paths of rest, everlasting life. That's looking. Next slide. Ask for the ancient paths. This message originally was going to be about ancient paths, about foundations. It was going to be about Acts 2:42. About the ancient paths that we in the New Testament, the New Covenant, need to look back to. Breaking of bread, fellowship, prayer, meeting together of believers, basic, fundamental, ancient paths. That'll be a later message. So in this verse, the ancient paths refer to the old Mosaic law. That's what they knew as they spoke to the Judeans. That's what they knew it to be. They knew what he was telling them, but they didn't heed it. They were too busy serving false gods and of all the nations around them. Now, we might put our nose up at that, but are we serving the gods of busyness and distraction? Are we serving the gods of the internet? Are we serving the gods of pornography? Don't know why I mentioned that one, but a couple of hearts are just starting to beat a bit quicker. Is he going to talk into that? No, I don't need to talk into that. It's just one of many sins. But it's got to stop. And you might need some help with that. So our way of righteousness, or our ancient path, if we're talking about righteousness, we did a message some time back about that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So that is the path, that is an ancient path, the path of righteousness. We have right standing with God. He sees us as he sees Jesus, which is hard to get your head around. It's been imputed to us, it's been transferred to us by grace through what? Faith, amen. So let us start to walk in that victory. If we're talking about victory, that's a victory in itself. That's crazy. But we must know him and have a relationship with him. So the ancient path is obviously partly Jesus, or it is Jesus, but let's ask him. Let's ask him for the right path. If you're at a crossroad, ask him. How? Prayer. And he's got a book out. Highly recommend it. Jesus is the Word, it says. And the Word was with God. So people say, well, how do I know? Come before him, ask him in prayer. Come before him and ask him through his word. He does speak to you. And for any new people, just as a disclaimer, I'd suggest if you've got a Bible, start with the New Testament. Read that first. Things in the kingdom are backwards. He will be first, will be last. If you want to be the leader, you've got to be the servant. Start at the back of the book, the New Testament. That's my history, so that's, I'm going with that. It will make more sense. Amen. Psalm 23:3 says what? He leads me in paths of righteousness. Ask for his leading. Let him take the lead. You follow. And that ancient path, and that's really the crux of today. I could finish here if we wanted to. It's a bit early. But that ancient path leads us to that rest. Yeah? Because it's a path of righteousness. And we know, I'm not going to talk into the Sabbath rest that's in Hebrews 4, but you can do that for homework. Have a bit of a look at that. But there's a Sabbath rest. God worked 6 days, rested seven. That's what the Sabbath is about. We need rest for our physical body, as well as our mind, will and emotions, our soul. And many, well, they didn't. Judah didn't, and they were just annihilated, a lot of death. This is life and death. So he's just inviting us today through re-establishing and uncovering this foundational truth. So just take a breath. Next slide. Ask for the good way. It's a photo I managed to find in the archives of Jesus. Good looking fella. And the good way mentioned in this verse is the way of obedience to God. To be in alignment with God's will and purpose rather than in opposition to them. So what's this mean for us? Again, Jesus is the good way, yeah? He said of himself, he is what? The way. And Stacey gave us the three doors of the temple. I didn't know that. There was three doors in the temple, the way, the truth and the life. Jesus just fulfills all of this Old Testament symbolism and ways of doing things. I'm more than likely going to speak about Mary of Bethany next week, but it says in there that she chose the good part. Jesus is the good part. He's the good way. Do you need to ask for a good way out of your situation? Because that's the only way to go. Out of your mess, if I can say that, if you can handle that word. If you're in a mess and our lives get in a mess, ask for a good way out. So if we ask, he promises we shall. Now let me just put a disclaimer in here. It may not be the answer you're looking for. So you might say, well, I asked and I didn't receive. Well, you did, but it's not what you were looking for. You receive what you need to hear, not necessarily what you wanted to hear. You wanted to hear that this is the path. He's saying, no, this is the path. Does that make sense? And as far as him being a good way in the early church, they were known as followers of the way, or the church of the way before they were called Christians. They were followers of the way. His word is the way. It says to do what? To ask, to seek, to knock. You want directions? Ask him through prayer, through petition, as I prayed earlier, with thanksgiving. Ask him, read his word. And if you need help, come alongside some wise counsel, someone you can trust. If you honestly stop, look and ask, he will show you the way. Okay, we're getting through it now. Number four, next slide if we can. Here we go again. Walk in it. This is about obedience. This is about, as we preached a couple of weeks ago, about being doers of the word. We've got to walk in this. We've got to co-labor with God, yeah? It's not this magical thing where we just become Christians and we've got all this stuff and it just happens. We've got to make it happen. He makes it happen, but we've got to walk it out. We've got to be doers of the word. And what I didn't say in that sermon was the analogy of an apprentice. You can learn all you like about putting a electric PowerPoint in from a book, but if you don't have practical experience, if you don't walk that out, you're probably going to electrocute someone. I did a week's work experience as an electrician. It wasn't enough. It's still here, that's right. But you get what I mean? We've got to walk it out. We've got to do our bit. This life journey, we do have to do stuff. We know we don't work for our salvation. Please don't say that. But we've got to work it, walk it out. As I think I shared, what Oswald Chambers said, we've got to work out what God has worked in. Our salvation is worked into us. We've got to work it out. We've got to walk it out. Yeah? Keeping up with me? It's all good? So, and that's just obedience. Judah didn't walk in obedience. And we know there's blessings for obedience. We know there's curses for disobedience. It's an age-old thing. That's an ancient truth. So it can be tough following the good way, the narrow path. Yeah? Can be tough on that thin, narrow road. Christianity, they say, has become a mile wide and an inch deep. And that could be a fair judgment of the church. If we look across the board of all the denominations, man, Christianity, whatever you like, whatever goes. So do you get the analogy? It's a mile wide and it's an inch deep. It's not going to be here and it's not here, but probably every church in the world is saying that at the moment. But this narrow path is an inch wide, but trust me, it's a mile thick. It's very solid. It's very secure. Few that find it. We are of the few. Aren't we? Yeah? Yeah? Whew! Sometimes being real about where you're at isn't easy. Confession of sin isn't easy. And I can stand up here and teach with authority about that subject, because I've walked the walk. I don't say that to impress you, it's to my shame really, but I've had to confess sin, some pretty interesting things. To put things on the table, to put things in the light that could potentially make you lose everything that's dear to you. It's not easy. But man, it's worth it. And the fruit of that is me standing here now. Because it's obedience. Again, please, it's not pride. It's just being obedient. It does reap a harvest. And some sins, well, my sins are not to be confessed now. Some you need to confess just simply to God. There's just little things. Some you need to get alongside a mate. But I'm speaking to men here mainly. Some things you've got to tell your wife. And maybe there's some women here that need to tell their husband some things. You've got to tell them. You don't know. Sorry, you don't have to. But you won't live a full life. You won't fully enter that rest. It's like a backpack. You just never quite get free. And I can say this, and I won't say this often, but trust me in this. Forgiveness is not easy. As I said, a lot of you are going through some stuff I wouldn't even want to mention or think about. Forgiveness is not easy, but it's worth it because it sets you free from the sin. It releases you. It cuts the bungee cord that's still connected to whatever the incident or the person was. It cuts you free. It's worth it. But it's not easy. It's a journey. Obedience in general isn't easy, but it's worth it. And there's this rest at the end of it. And again, it's not laying down having to sleep under a palm tree on a beach, although it might be, it sounds nice. It's just inner rest. It's peace within. And saying no to sin isn't always easy either. And I can attest to that as well. In all its forms. So some of us think, sitting, well, I'm not really, you know, I do the odd thing, but sin's an interesting thing. It's very deceptive. There's a scripture I like in 1 Timothy 5:24, and it basically says that some people's sins announce themselves before they get there, if you like, and some trail behind. So if you're out running amok, doing, drinking, whatever, smoking, dope, you know, things that are obvious, they announce themselves before. Everyone can see that. But so many of us in church hide sins deep down. They're trailing behind us. Gossip. plenty of gossip, plenty of unforgiveness, plenty of bitterness and judgment. I know that comes out of hurt. I know there's hurt people. So what is it? I said, we went to Myers yesterday and we got served by a lady and she'd just, someone on the phone, some customer just been giving it to her and she was quite shaken. So we just said, you're doing a good job. I said, hurt people, hurt people. And she started to well up a bit, God bless her. She didn't give me a discount though. But hurt people, hurt people. So if someone's smashing you and they're just being a right royal, there's a reason for it. I know that's not always easy, especially in traffic. But things like gossip, slander, bitterness, as I've said. And if we don't do the good we know we should be doing, Scripture says, I think in James, if we don't do the good we know we should be doing, that's sin. And there's a way to put sin to death, or misdeeds of the body, Romans 8 says. And I think, Kylie, you might have alluded to this in a couple of your messages about the Spirit. It's by the Spirit. You can't do it in your own flesh sometimes. And again, I know that myself. You can do it for a little while, but you keep going back. You keep going back. Put it to death by the Spirit. Can't do it of ourselves necessarily. It's His righteousness working in us via His grace, via His Holy Spirit. That's why we've got to keep getting filled up, yeah? So it's this idea, I think, of coming to the road, looking, taking the righteousness we have in Christ and just walking in obedience hand in hand with Jesus through life. That's the path. That's the ancient path. And you'll find what? Next slide. I love this. And you will find rest for your souls. Just close your eyes. And just say that 1, 2, 3, rest for your souls. You may have heard that before in Scripture. Just give me a second and I'll... The good way that leads to rest refers to the ways of righteousness, as I've said, in obedience to God, which leads us to this sense of peace and rest for our soul. If Judah had been obedient and followed the ancient path and the good path, so many wouldn't have been killed. They would have had rest for their weary souls. They'd been burdened by sin and disobedience. It's very tiring, sin and disobedience. Again, trust me, it's very tiring. When you start lying and deceiving, it's hard to keep up what you've said and what you haven't said and ducking and diving, mainly pre-Christian that, but pre-BC for me. Just doing things behind my wife's back for years. Just being addicted to stuff that I couldn't say no to. Believing the lie that I could never free myself from cannabis addiction. I remember sitting, I might have told you this, sitting under some pine trees at Narrogin and the enemy in my ear saying, you can't ever give this up. I didn't know it was the enemy, but just having a knowing that I could never kick this habit. But praise God for His mercy and His grace. Yeah? Amen. So for the nation of Judah, that would have been victory instead of defeat. They were defeated. They were carted off, I think, to Babylon. So for us, the ancient path, the good way in the text, fully manifests in the person of Jesus. Yeah? He is the ancient path. He's the good way. And I love here where Jesus quotes Jeremiah in the New Testament. And I love this scripture, and this is for some people here today. Write this down for all those that bring notes and Bibles. You know, if you write something down, I don't know, you've got 7 times more chance of remembering it. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find Rest for your souls. Thank you, Darcy. Go on ahead of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matthew 11:28-29. It doesn't always feel like the yoke's easy and light. But I know that the more we walk in obedience, the easier and lighter that yoke is. And you'll find rest for your souls. Quoting straight out of Jeremiah. Just going to try and land this now. Jesus calls us to walk in his footsteps, to follow his example. That's where true rest is. Not by pointing us to religion and works and do this, do that, roll over, have a biscuit. But a personal relationship with him. Through faith in Jesus and obedience to his command. We can make him saviour, but we're also going to make him Lord. So we come up the front, people come up, and I'll make him Lord and saviour. We can make him saviour, we've got to make him Lord, which means we've got to do as he says. And we can find rest and peace that our souls so desperately need. So by following Jesus, as I've said, as holding hands with Jesus, we are walking in the way of righteousness and obedience to God, which leads to true rest. I think there's another slide. Following his will, his word, and his ways. That's the ancient path to rest for our souls. And the ancient path is a very victorious one that others will want to know about. So I'm just going to close in prayer and leave it there. But I do want to make an invitation this morning. Have we got some... where's Helen or Tristan? Maybe just Tristan, just to twinkle the ivories. That would be lovely. Tristan, God's raising you up, man, for a greater work in this place. All right, so just going to speak that over your life. He's raising you up. I don't know what that looks like, but he's raising you up, man, into a greater level of anointing and power and just awesomeness. Okay? Well, good. He's received it. That's good. Your humility is just beautiful, man. Really is. Love you, man. It's good. There's a lot of love in the room. So I'm just going to pray, but you can probably just dim that front light just to give people some privacy if they want. But I just want to invite people today. We've had some great messages from Kyla and others about the laying on of hands, about being filled with the Spirit and refilled with the Spirit. So we can't preach a word or teach a word or bring a word and not have an opportunity for you to receive something from God. And it might just be that you want to come to the front because you've had a look. And it's not about making a big show and dance. Like I said, I'd rather you come and confess sin than get healed. But sometimes as we confess sin, we get healed. They go hand in hand. Praise the Lord, O my soul, who forgives all my sin and does what? Heals all my diseases. Why do we take the believe the sin bit, but yet not necessarily the healing bit? Or why do we want the healing bit yet, but we think we can hang on to our sin? So some of you today have stopped and looked and slowed down and seen some things, and you know some things in your heart that you've got to be free of, that you've got to deal with. You don't have to come up the front and do that today, but please, go away, do something about it. And for some of you, stop it. Stop it. But I just want to open an opportunity for people to come forward for prayer. I'd ask the elders and the pastors and any of the prayers that we would open the front up. If you need help with something, you need support with something, you just want to come before the Lord and just pour out. If you don't know Jesus, if you want to make today the day, if you want to make today the line in the sand where you say, yes, I want to make him Lord and Saviour of my life, come. If you just want to be blessed, you just want to be filled, have a refreshing of the Spirit. Kyla's on song, she's on form, so the Spirit will flow through any of us. But we've had some wonderful teaching and foundation in that. So it's an opportunity this morning for that. So for those that don't or won't, as we just please respect the people up the front, but feel free to grab a coffee and make yourself known. Any of the visitors, please. Hopefully you make them feel welcome. But again, I just open up the front for that. Let me just close in prayer. Just close your eyes, bow your heads. Anyone wants to come up, please do so. Love to pray for you. So Lord, we thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your word, Lord. Your truth. Your ancient paths that lead to rest, Father. Your ways, your will, your word. Help us be more obedient. To walk in that obedience, to walk in it, Lord. And your promise is that we will find rest for our souls, our mind, our will, our emotions. So, Lord, I just urge if you're touching anyone today, Lord, they would be bold enough to stand up and come forward. And we don't need to know what it is even. But people would be freed of burdens, freed of baggage. Filled with your Spirit, refilled with your Spirit, baptized in your Spirit. Because that is our empowerment, that is our juice, that is our fuel. And it's your grace, your empowerment that does that. So Lord, for those caught in things that they either don't know how to get out of, or they've tried and they've failed, they've tried and they've failed, they've tried and they've failed. Today is a new day, amen? So we pray today for a refreshing in the Spirit and an outpouring in the Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name.